We've been hearing this week about a special relationship between many British people and something called the shipping forecast. It's a broadcast on BBC Radio of sea and weather conditions off the coast of the British Isles. Even landlubbers enjoy it each night before bed. NPR's Philip Reeves has taken us to several coastal communities where the forecast actually matters. And today we have his final visit. It's to England's south coast and the ancient town of Hastings overlooking the English Channel. The Hastings fishing fleet launches from the beach, not a harbor. Philip went there and ran into Stephen Edmonds just back from a trip to sea.
We've done a lot of fishing. We're only a bit 2 mile off, 2.5 mile, but cod there today, plaice, turbot, Dover sole, skate, gurnard.
And I watched you come in there. Tell me what you did there.
Well, just steam it in, like to where our berth is, and just stick it on.
So you kind of crash into the beach?
More or less, yeah. That's right, yeah. Just drive it into the beach on full, yeah. On full power.
Stephen Edmonds has been a fisherman his entire life. He's a weather-beaten man in his 50s, who's seen the best of times and the worst of times. Today is bright and bracing, though the shipping forecast is mixed.
There are warnings of gales in Viking, North Utsira, Thames, Dover, White, Biscay.
That's what we listen for. Thames, Dover, Fitzroy, White. So we're in between Everglades, Dover and White, Davies, so we always listen to Thames, Dover, White.
North or northeast, 6 to gale 8, becoming variable 3 or 4 later. Showers, good.
A very cold morning and a strong wind to the north. Going away to nothing tonight. The weather's broke for us a bit now, but we did have 2 weeks of windy weather, you know what I mean, and no one moved. Still doing your own work, your stitching and all that sort of thing. But, you know, you have to get out there. You've got to get some pennies. Got a mortgage, same as anyone.
The fishermen of Hastings are tight-knit. Fathers, brothers and sons fish together in rugged little boats no more than 10 metres long. Families have worked off this beach like this for centuries, says Stephen's brother, Richard Edmonds.
I've researched my family and I can date it back to the 1580s in Hastings, fishing from this port. My grandfather, my great-grandfather, my father. I was very, very young when my father first took me to sea, you know, 6 or 7, just to teach me how to understand the sea legs and not being, what we call it, gammy. Gammy means you're very sick. And then he would teach you how to stand to stop you falling over every time the vessel rolled. The fishing here is fantastic. It's the quotas that will eventually destroy this industry.
These are restrictions imposed by the European Union,
yeah,
in an attempt to control the fish, yeah, manage,
well,
the fish
it's
stocks.
It's just to manage the fish stocks, yeah, exactly. But sometimes the quotas they put on are ridiculous.
Hastings has one of the oldest beach-launched fleets in Britain. A boat's preparing to come in amid a cloud of seagulls. The boat sails straight towards us at speed and hits the beach. A couple of men place blocks of oiled wood under the hull so the boat can be winched up the stones. That's how they do it here. It's tricky, says Richard Edmonds.
It's very hairy. You know, the vessels ride well on seas, but when you get close to the shore, you get crests of waves and the vessel doesn't answer because the stern will lift up and then your rudder is out the water. So you can't steer the vessel, and the vessel will do what the waves tell it to do.
Douglas Joy was in that boat that's just landed. It's actually his brother's.
Yeah, I'm doing my brother's boat, and another time he might help me. It was very windy. We didn't go out far, about a mile, and there was a lot of wind coming out, gusts of a gale at times. When you chuck the nets back over the side, it sometimes blows back in your face.
Douglas's brother, Paul, says their family's been in Hastings since before William the Conqueror and his Norman army sailed in from France and invaded.
They've said we'd go back into the Thames and before the 1000s, well, up to the 1000s anyway.
Actually fishing?
Actually fishing.
So your great, 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 I don't know how many greats I need to add here, grandfather was going out in a boat not all that different from this boat, and catching the same kind of fish that you guys are catching today.
Very much so. There was a huge herring industry here at the time, and the fleet used to follow the herring round.
Paul Joy is from the Hastings Fishermen's Protection Society. He's in the front line of a campaign to stop the authorities allocating the lion's share of fish quotas to big boats so that small vessels get a proper share.
Sustainable fishing is very important to us. We feel it's more not what we get out of it today, but the heritage, as you've seen, goes back, and our lineage goes back 1,000 years. So we want to make sure that another 1,000 years our fisheries can still stay and sustain jobs and income for the community.
People here worry that the fleet's going to die out anyway, because these days sons can't afford to follow their fathers into the business.
I feel ever so sad that I can't carry on a tradition, or I would struggle to carry on a tradition.
John Barrow started out fishing with his father, a lifelong fisherman. Now John's in his 30s and has a family and a house to pay for. He's become a truck driver.
Obviously worried about not being able to pay bills, and I mean, it's a couple of years ago, the boys down here, they went probably 2-3 months of bad weather, blowing a gale every day, just simply couldn't get to sea, and didn't earn no money for 3 months. I mean, wouldn't be no good for me.
My name's Jackie, and I was born and bred in Hastings from a very well-known Adams family. Goes back generations and generations of fishing families.
Jackie says that every now and then, tragedy strikes the community. A few years back, the wife of a trawlerman in another southern English seaside town lost her husband in a freak storm. His body was missing for many months.
They found the boat, but not the body, and without a body, she couldn't get a death certificate. All his bank direct debits and that were still going out, emotionally, financially as well, they was broken.
A charity called the Fisherman's Mission helped out. The dead man's widow decided to show her gratitude by raising funds for that charity with music. Jackie and her friends rallied round, so did other women from Britain's fishing communities, to form the Fishwives Choir.
We're singing, actually, Eternal Father, which is a very famous song that's always sung at fishermen's or people who work at sea at their funerals. It's always been that way. Whenever there's a disaster in different areas, they always, always, the fishermen stick together and help each other, always.
Oh, it can be horrible. It can be really horrible. It takes no prisoners. You've got to respect it. If you don't respect that little ocean out there, that'll take you like that.
Philip Reeves, NPR News.